Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Brian Fink. Brian is a professional photographer living and working in New York City. He has gallery representation in New York City, Paris, Amsterdam, and Los Angeles. He is the author of 2468 American Cheerleaders and Football Players and Flight Attendants. His editorial clients include Condé Nast, Discover, ESPN, Esquire, Fast Company, Fortune, GQ, The Guardian, The New York Times, Life, Los Angeles Times, Martha Stewart, Men's Fitness, Men's Health, Men's Vogue, Newsweek, New York Magazine, The New York Times Magazine, The New Yorker, O Magazine, People. It goes on and on and on. His advertising clients include Air New Zealand, AT&T, Bushmills Brothers, IBM, Nike, Promax, Saturn, and many more. And of course, there's one thing that ties all of this fabulous, unbelievable work together. That's right. Brian shoots film. Brian does fabulous work. We're going to talk to him today about himself, his photography, how he got into it, the work that he's doing, his personal work, and his thoughts on the industry. Brian, how you doing today?
Very good. Doing well.
Great. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program today. Talk about yourself, your photography, and all the great work you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
This is pretty cool. So, Brian, you're mainly editorial, fine art. How would you explain yourself?
I touch in a lot of different types. I work a lot for magazines, but I've exhibited work with galleries for the past almost 10 years now in different cities, do some advertising work also. So I'm always like working in a lot of different fields, just keeps it interesting and keeps things fresh, and different things influence one another. But yeah, the stuff that keeps me busy day to day is definitely the magazine work and also working on the personal project.
So let's get into yourself as a photographer. When did you start taking photos? What made you want to be a photographer?
I kind of, one of those stories, like back in junior high, starting photo classes and then lots of photo classes through high school. I grew up in a suburb of Houston, and I moved to New York to go to art school when I was 18. went to school visual art and graduated a little while back in 98. And for pretty much the past 10 years, been working for magazines and doing all that stuff. So yeah, forever and ever. Always been taking pictures, but loving it.
So let's talk about your work here, Brian. I mean, like you said, you are doing lots of great editorial stuff. I mean, you're working for a lot of people. So how did your photography progress? I mean, assuming you didn't always start out doing all this great editorial work. So when you got out of school, I mean, how did things progress to what you're doing now?
Personal work's always been such an incredibly important thing for me. It's my original interest in getting into photography. And it's really what's always helped me, whether it's editorial or advertising. When I was out of school, I applied for a few different grants, and I was fortunate enough to receive two of them. And they really opened the doors with originally getting in and getting some introductions and meeting Elizabeth Biondi at The New Yorker when I was a senior in college, along with meeting with the great editors there, and then got introductions to some other magazines. That was kind of where the first opportunities to meet people. But then it wasn't until several years later when I actually started getting calls and assignments. I would call up editors and show them new work, and then 6 months later, do the same thing again. And then it was just after many, many times of this, then kind of like getting my first small assignment, and then things just over the years snowballing from there. I very much love the tradition of like documentary photography and all of the, I guess, more traditional subject matters that have gone along with it. But it wasn't, I wanted to start photographing something where I was much more, I guess, closely associated with. When I started photographing the cheerleaders, I really started kind of like finding my voice, my vision.
Let's talk about this cheerleader project. So it looks like, based on the book, that you were at Daytona Beach.
Yeah, it was just being out there and the sun and the energy and just kind of like the explosion of emotion. It was just a great setting. That's actually where I started photographing these big national cheerleading competitions down in Daytona and also in Orlando and Disney World. And then from there, went to college and high school football games, both on my own and also at the same time proposing stories to magazines that I was working for.
Was the cheerleader project originally because it was an editorial opportunity, or this is something you wanted to shoot, or you were just working with the varsity people?
Well, with growing up in Texas, both my sisters were cheerleaders. So it was something that I was introduced to it from them going to the very similar types of competitions. And then it wasn't until like years later when I kind of revisited it, the interest was there basically after being removed from it for a few years and living in New York and doing that, decided to go back and start photographing it. Originally it was a personal project that I started working on and then started pitching ideas to magazines, just ways with helping to get money and funding and go and shoot it and stuff, which is how I work a lot. It's similar how it worked with the flight attendants and current projects now.
So, of course, you're getting these assignments now, and these magazines are giving you editorial jobs, but let's sort of back up and talk about these personal projects and how they lead into editorial work.
I mean, I look at it the same way as like applying for grants and different things, which I'm starting to get back into and doing now also. I think pitching ideas, it kind of works for two reasons. It's great if something comes together to work on a story, but it's also a great way to get money to go and do it. And at the same time, the editors are aware of kind of like what I'm currently interested in photographing and stuff. Because a lot of my projects that I work on, it's something that I kind of work on and photograph and obsess about for a few years and then kind of see where things go and move on to the next project after that.
When you're working on this stuff, so let's take the example, your Strawberry Queen package. So is this something that was really just something that you wanted to do and then someone picked this editorial-wise? Or how did that sort of work and play into what you were doing?
Yeah, that series in particular was originally an assignment for The New Yorker that I photographed. There's also some of the stuff on my site of Strawberry Queen video, and I went back and revisited the subject a year ago, went down and did the video piece. It was a subject that I was really interested in. Originally, it came about The New Yorker called and, of course, familiar with my cheerleading pictures and all the pageantry and costumes, so they thought of me for that project. It was a lot of fun going and doing the still thing, but then with a more recent interest in video and starting to shoot video for editorial and advertising stuff, I wanted to go and work on a personal video thing, so that's when I went. Just about a year ago, I made two trips down to Plant City, Florida, and hung out with the Strawberry Queens through the pageant. And then went back the following month for the parade and festival, and it was just great. I mean, all the red dresses and backstage moments and anticipation, It was fun and exciting working with the video and with recording the sound and hearing all the hairspray in the dressing rooms and the giggling. It was just great. It was just all right there in front of me. So that's how that kind of came about.
These are great editorial packages, and it's so cool to see how an initial job can expand out more into a personal body of work.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I mean, at this kind of point in my career, I do a lot of really great editorial work that's very closely subject-wise related to things that I would just love to go and photograph on my own.
So let's talk about your photography, because I think this is very, very unique in the world of editorial and the stuff that you're doing. You capture your images on film. You're an analog photographer.
Yeah, that's correct. About 99% of the jobs I do is the same Hasselblad camera that I've used for, gosh, the past 10, 15 years, the same lens, the same film. It's what I love.
What do clients say? Do they even ask about how the images are captured? Is there ever an issue? Or is it just you deliver and they're happy?
I mean, there's a lot of different circumstances. Some clients that I've worked with for a while, they know that I shoot film. When I shoot on film, but in the past like 6 months I've started doing develop with scans, which is something that's new for me, and it's just great having that digital file, but then the same beautiful quality of the grain and the texture and the beautiful colors of the Fuji film. But shooting film, it's what I learned on, it's what I love. I mean, there's just so many beautiful things about the process and the craft of taking pictures with it. The Hasselblad camera, I love just the way that it feels and sounds. And it's so surprising these days. Even recently, I was doing an editorial job for restaurants and bars and stuff for New York Magazine. And so many comments, like, it's an interesting conversation piece now, just being out and people kind of in awe with, like, a film camera. This past fall, I was doing a shootout in Vegas, and it was some high-powered guy, and his publicist was there. The publicist was just kind of like just so impressed that I was shooting film. And I really believe that they gave me like extra time with the subject because they were just kind of like, wow, this guy must really know what he's doing. He's still getting away with shooting film. So I love it. It's just the process, like stopping and pausing for a minute and changing film back and shooting Polaroid. Yeah, it's just a very nice tactile way of taking pictures.
Fabulous, because like you said, I think the whole film acquisition does make you slow down, and you're not just burning through digital like what's on burst and machine gun fire. You actually think about what you're doing.
Yeah, it's just having to make choices, and you don't take 1,500 pictures on a shoot. It's just really what I learned on, and it just feels very natural also. It's like with doing something for so long, and it just is so second nature. And it's just intuitive, and stylistically, it's just how I've built my way of seeing and my style of taking pictures. And with the form of the square, and then adding the poppiness of the light and overexposing the film. Yeah, it's a beautiful quality.
So do you shoot everything, flash, any ambient light? Tell me about how you like to compose and expose.
I shot with Hasselblad, a 60mm lens, pretty much like the 60, stays on the body, and it's what I always work with. I like how it opens up the space and allows me to get a little closer. Like the people I photograph, it feels very immediate with that lens. I think it's very relatable. I use quantum Q flashes. I love the bare bulb feel, that real crispness and sharpness to the light. And they're also great because with shooting a lot outside, they're still strong enough to overpower daylight, but very quick and spontaneous for an assistant to hold off camera. Yeah, they're just very, very versatile. And just overexpose the film, and just depending on how I want to convey the mood, the picture, just depending on how much I like underexpose the background or play around with mixing the ambient light stuff with the strobe.
Now, you typically have an assistant with you, or can you do some of these gigs solo?
I almost all the time work with an assistant. It just keeps it really spontaneous for me. And the assistants that I work with them a long time, and it's just very second nature and allows us to move very quickly. It's also the same, like I shoot with Hasselblad, but I use a 90-degree prism and I mount like a flash bracket on the side. So it's almost holding it more like a 35mm. So it's just very spontaneous in a fast way of shooting with the Hasselblad. But yeah, working with an assistant with an off-camera flash, it just allows to create a lot of different mood with how the direction of the flash is coming. And then sometimes it mixes with like an on-camera flash, different variations to things. But yeah, working with the assistant makes it nice and quick to keep photographing and changing or reportage situation.
Now you're shooting, what, typically Fuji Color Neg?
Yeah, I shoot Fuji Pro H, and then I use the Fuji Pack, the Polaroid film, exclusively pretty much. And now printing on Fuji paper. with Kodak unfortunately discontinuing some of the Super N and stuff in the smaller cut sheet. So going with the times.
Yeah, you have to deal with what you got, but the Fuji Crystal Archive is pretty nice paper as well. Do you typically develop and print your own stuff, or you work with a lab?
Variation, depending. I love to go in the darkroom, and I worked with a printer for like 5 years. That just does an amazing job. Also, the lab that I work with and do more of my commercial stuff through, they have some great printers. It just depends if I'm in town and things. I like to go in the darkroom, and I always print my personal stuff anywhere, like from small prints up to like 40 by 40 inch print. The film is great and just holds up so beautifully. And another film shout out. A great thing with shooting, I did this advertising job for Heineken this past year, and the art director was a great guy, and he asked for me to shoot on film, and I was like, well, that's perfect, because that's pretty much exactly what I do. And we just brought like the scanner on set, and he was just scanning the Polaroids and dropping them into layout and stuff. And what's great about the film, and with the medium format and the 6.6 and stuff, is ultimately the art director has so much that he could ultimately work with. Like you just do a drum scan and however big you need it, it can really work with so many different areas of the negative. I mean, we used the same image to do like a really long horizontal billboard and then the same thing to do like magazine spread. So all the information is there. There's a lot of flexibility as how it's used, which I think is really great. And sometimes shooting other ways, it doesn't allow for that flexibility afterwards.
When you're doing some of these editorial and advertising shoots, I mean, a lot of these art directors are used to seeing tethered digital shoot. Is it they find that they need to see something, or are they happy with you shooting some Fuji pack film and they can check that out?
I mean, I think it all kind of depends on the relationship photographer has with the art director and also what type of client is there, if they need to be seeing stuff. I mean, a lot of the people I'm working with these days I've worked with for a while and have a really good, nice relationship with them. And they look at some of the Polaroids at the beginning and see how it's going, and then it's just kind of in my hands to run with type of a thing. I mean, I'm a photographer. I cover things very well and work a situation and shoot quite a bit. So, yeah, kind of a lot depends on the relationship with art director and clients.
Do you think, Brian, besides, I mean, the fabulous work and the great photography, do you think that you have people that search you out specifically because you are shooting film?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think film's definitely finding more of a niche now. It's almost has, I think, like a little more of an artistic retro thing to it, which kind of seemed to come about kind of quickly. I mean, I think a lot of it is photographers' personal preference at this point, depending on how they like to shoot. I mean, a lot of editorial clients that I work for, they really like the fact that I still shoot film. So there really hasn't been any kind of motivator to do it differently. Yeah, I mean, I'll keep shooting film as long as the film's there to shoot with.
When you're out shooting, I mean, with the prism viewfinder on the Hasselblad, are you metering in camera, or are you having your assistant help with external metering, or do you have this bare bulb quantum gig down so well that you pretty much nailed it right off the bat?
That's pretty much the last thing.
That's what I thought. It's great.
If I take a meter reading at like f8 and underexpose the background on a bright sunny day, shooting at 500, and then close down half a stop for the film, it's pretty second nature at this point. I mean, basically go into a situation, I step in and take the light meter, and my assistant judges the distance, and that's why it's also great. Like, the assistant I've worked with, he's a great guy, and we've shot together for the past year and a half, and he just knows where to be and go in this direction or have more of like a streaking light coming at more of a 90 degree. But the distance thing is just so second nature.
That's what I figured. I mean, looking at your photography, I would think that, like you said, you've done so much of this and you're so experienced with the same piece of gear that you can just go in there and click, click, and bang, and pretty much nail it on the first try without even having the meter or anything.
Yeah, there's something very nice, I think, about that. I mean, even a recent job coming to mind, I was recently in D.C. photographing a lobbyist and doing some portraits running around outside and then going inside where he can't just event. It's great knowing that when I come inside, I'm shooting at a 30th or sometimes open up to a 15th of a second and then shooting the 400 speed film at f8, and I just know how much movement or how much ambient light will be coming in. It's nice when it's that familiar. But then sometimes, like when I was working on the flight attendant pictures, being in a very different type of situation, inside the planes, I decided to like start having a flash on camera that was more bounced. And then my assistant working with radio slaves would be holding two key flashes, but like ducking behind seat and going around. It was just a very different type of environment to photograph in, and also record while flying around in the air. it was fun and exciting, but it was nice just trying to figure out the lighting challenge. So, yeah, it's also nice when encountering something new and trying to figure it out and translate the style to a new type of environment. These days, I'm actually completing a project, which will be my next show and next book, about construction workers. D Magazine in Milan just published a nice portfolio in their January issue, and we'll probably be doing the shows and book release about a year from now. So that was a new subculture, and more recently I'm starting another project about U.S. Marshals and law enforcement, and about how we as a society police ourselves, and going around and hanging out in Vegas and also in Texas and going around with these U.S. Marshals as they go and arrest the bad guys. It's like my own little version of cops, basically. It's boys and their guns.
Now, typically, when you approach, let's say, the U.S. Marshals on doing this, was this something that was, I'm doing a book on this, I want to document this, it's for a magazine article? What typically would people have to deal with when you want to get access to be able to do that?
Yeah, the Marshals in particular, I had a contact who was a U.S. Marshal in Houston, and he made an introduction for me to their head office in D.C., and their PR department was just incredibly receptive. And basically gave me access to whatever cities I want to go around the country. Just give them a heads up and they'll make the introduction and I can go and photograph. I've spent a week in Houston and also a week out in Vegas. And in Vegas they were doing a roundup week. So we were going around with them and they're all suited up in their guns with grenades and body armor and everything and kicking down doors and stuff. With the Marshals PR department, I think a lot of it has to do with the receptiveness and them kind of seeing the benefits of a lot of the reality TV. The Manhunter show out now, and I think it's brought a lot of attention and credibility, and they've gotten a lot of good press basically from it. I pretty much tell them that I'm working on this personal project, it'll become a book and shows, and I'll give you guys some pictures, and they're totally into it. So it's nice when it comes together. I mean, I think trying to get access, like when I was a student, it's just kind of telling people you're a student. People can be receptive, I think, to a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be this very big magazine spread or something that's really high profile. I think people can be receptive on a lot of different levels to get access, make projects happen.
Sure, and I guess probably at certain levels it would be better if you weren't telling them it was for a magazine and it was just for a personal art project, more so than putting some stigma on it that it's going to be an XYZ publication.
Right, yeah, because then, I mean, it could be some press is good press, some press isn't. Like the Marshals, they left having me there. I'm just taking still pictures and there's no audio recording or anything. It's very different, much more uncensored, I would assume, than when, like, the TV cameras come around and things. So, yeah, different situation, come out for different press. Like the flight attendants, I was working through some travel magazines. Some of the shoots I was doing on my own, and some I was pitching different fashion or travel angles to the articles. And when contacting PR departments at some airlines, they would either be into it or not at all. It would be one end of the spectrum as far as the reaction or the other. And it was just making enough calls or enough people said yes and building the story from that. So definitely a lot of persistence.
Well, when you're working on a project like the flight attendants, I mean, when you fly now, do you take pictures of flight attendants? Or when do you call a project done? How do you say, I ain't taking no more pictures of no flight attendants?
Yeah, it was weird starting to shoot the project. And it was interesting as being a traveler. Because when I get on a plane, it just kind of forced downtime. So it's like reading newspapers, books, taking a nap. And when I started working on it, it's kind of like you get on a flight and all of a sudden shooting and working. It took a little bit of time getting used to that and then also quite a while to kind of unwind once it was finished to just be like, okay, I'm a passenger, I should sit down. Because when we're shooting, we're just running around throughout the plane and taking off and landing. It was just kind of a unique freedom and also fun time getting to the flight attendants and stuff. But yeah, I photographed the flight attendants for like 2.5 years. It is true. It's kind of one of those things that can kind of go on indefinitely. I photographed a lot domestically and then pretty quickly realized I wanted to go over to Asia and also to Europe to photograph something that was much more classical or nostalgic with all the uniforms and hat and stuff like that compared to the reality of their travel domestically today for the most part.
That's such a great point that when you do travel domestically now that flight attendants are just like, okay, whatever, right? But if you look at like JAL or Singapore Airlines, I mean, it's like hardcore 1960. Uniforms, yeah, the look, the whole deal. I mean, it's completely stereotype of a flight attendant.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And even when I photographed Cathay Pacific a few years back, and it was for their anniversary, and they brought back all these retro uniforms, which was amazing for photographing. But even one of the flight attendants was telling me, still that mystique still exists. You want to become a flight attendant. You want to travel the world. You want to go to interesting places and meet people. It's kind of nice to hear that that is still there.
Not so much in any, I guess, Western-based airline, put it that way. I'm not going to pick on American Airlines.
There's a few that still have it going on that make for a fun time and have some nice style. But yeah, I even photographed like Hooters Air that was around for a few years. Cool. Definitely the other end of the spectrum. Leaving New York and flying down to Myrtle Beach and shooting and going to a Hooters for lunch and getting back on the plane. It was a very surreal day. Made for some good pictures. But yeah, I mean, up to a year time frame really seems enough time to really obsess with a subject and dive into it and kind of let it be all-consuming and then just become exhausted from it and then just really want to go find new situations and people to start spending time with. Because I love what I do, and I really feel that to go and photograph something well, I really have to deeply enjoy the experience of taking pictures. Because that is, for me, so much of the thing. I love just that. It's definitely a little sad when something comes to the end. Then it's nice bringing it to completion and having the physical thing of a book and a print and seeing stories printed in magazines. And it's wonderful having all those outlets and sharing it that way. But it's really fun, the time that's spent actually out there in the world making pictures. And it's fun hanging out with the marshals and the boys these days and running around and trying to get deputized myself and my assistant. So it's a good time.
So you're doing the construction guys, you're out shooting the marshals. What's next? What do you want to do, Brian, that you haven't got to shoot? I mean, you've been doing literally editorial work for the biggest magazines on the planet. I mean, unbelievable cool jobs doing advertising photography, but there's got to be something that you want to go shoot. You've done crazy cheerleaders for varsity from Orlando to all this other stuff. But I mean, what do you want to do next? What's on the horizon?
Well, the marshals is just getting started for me. So that I definitely feel like I have a lot to explore. Along with the marshals, I want to go and photograph other fields of law enforcement and go to like tiny little sheriff's offices out in the middle of nowhere in West Texas. And I plan on going to Baltimore in the coming months and photographing their police department. I also kind of love doing assignment work. I love just being introduced to great things and introduced to things that I don't think of myself to go and photograph. And it makes all that possible. Maybe one thing that I'm starting to do more now and want to do more is shooting video and that part of storytelling along with taking the still pictures. But as far as subject matter wise, I mean, a lot of the groups that I do, they're almost kind of like different fetishes in a way. And I definitely think one thing that I've thought about is secretaries. They would be a good group to explore.
That'd be pretty hot, pretty cool. Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. My wife's a very understanding woman. It was her idea to go photograph the marshals. I think after photographing the flight attendant, she's like, go hang out with the boys for a while. Have some fun. Just be safe with the guns. So, yeah, I mean, things come about a lot of different ways. I mean, I've never really photographed my family much. I mean, it always seems like at some point in life, photographers kind of turn the camera more that way. So we'll see what happens with that. My wife's always been the one to make the family pictures. But maybe she'll let me give it a shot one of these days, so.
It always seems that women are always the ones that document sort of family history, right? For some reason?
Yeah, my wife, she makes great pictures. And also, I mean, for me, picture taking, it's a very formal process. It's very kind of like project assignment, very story driven. It's a different thing. I mean, it's a different type of photographer, like a street photographer that's constantly always looking and things. Yeah, I like to come home and try to put my feet up a little bit.
So really, yeah. I mean, even though this is your passion, you're still treating your photography as this is work. I'm going to work. And when I'm not working, I'm not going to shoot.
I mean, I enjoy work. It's great. Also, like I tell my two little boys, daddy's going to work right now and I'll be back. And they just associate work with like daddy going in to do what he really loves to do. So I think work is an enjoyable thing when you're lucky and fortunate enough to have it that way. I think I would describe it as just photography. For me, it's much more of a formal process. It's something that I don't carry a camera with me everywhere I go type of a thing. Maybe someday I will, I don't know, but it's just more formal. I like having something that I kind of think about, like with whatever current project I'm working on, be thinking about the access or how things went that day. I'm just kind of like having that one focus to kind of direct attention to. It's also a nice balance between doing the assignment work where sometimes get a phone call and go shoot something a month from now, or sometimes it's the following day or following week or something. And I like that kind of quickness and spontaneity to it. It's a nice balance to me for the more long-term things that I do personally.
With these personal projects and these books, and you're talking about working on grants, have you ever tried doing one of these Kickstarter deals? because I know you had a link on your blog to your buddy Mark that did one that seemed to hit his goal. What's your thoughts on these ways of generating money so you can cover these projects?
Yeah, like with Mark McAndrews and his book with Umbridge coming out. Yeah, it worked out wonderful for him. He helped with the production of the book. I personally just haven't looked into it yet myself to see whether it's the right fit or picking the right thing to do with it. Yeah, however people get money, whether it's personally funded or through grants or getting clients to pay for things, I think it's part of it.
So, Brian, tell me where people can look at your work. They can check out your blog. You've got all these great books. You've got the cheerleader series. You've got the circus gigs. I mean, you got a lot of cool stuff. And what's so fabulous is you're shooting this stuff on film. But where can people see this beautiful photography?
My website, brianfinke.com. It's BRIANFINKE.com. You can go to my blog, also Facebook, Twitter. I mean, pretty much all the different social media things. I'm very active with posting new work and all my new stories and editorial work and stuff. I like keeping it really fresh and getting stuff up there and showing it right away.
I'm telling you, this stuff's fabulous. I really appreciate it, Brian. This is beautiful photography. It's great inspiration. And it just goes to show you that you can do fabulous editorial advertising work and you can shoot film and be proud of it. This is great stuff, buddy.
I enjoyed talking. Thanks for having me, and thank you.
Well, there you go. Brian Finke, great guy, fabulous photographer, a lot of cool inspirational work from Brian, and of course, yummy, yummy film. Who knew you could do all of this great work for all of these editorial clients, making these fabulous books, gallery representation in cities all over the world, advertising clients out the slew, and guess what? You can shoot it on film. That's right. There's no excuse not to shoot film. Brian's a great example with fabulous work. Definitely check out his website, Brian Finke, F-I-N-K-E, brianfinke.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.